Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Over the course of the following week, the prayer book tradition has us reading the passion narrative of each of the four Gospels in order, beginning today, of course, with the Passion according to St. Matthew, and then St. Mark on Monday and Tuesday, St. Luke on Wednesday, Maundy Thursday is a different thing, and then finally with St. John's narrative of the Passion on Good Friday. Holy Week, when Jesus, who spoke so many times throughout his ministry about his hour, saying time and again that his hour had not yet come, finally acknowledges that his hour has come. And at the outset of this passion, when through the report of St. John, he says in John chapter 12, verse 23 and following, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Again, in the high priestly prayer of John 17, Jesus was heard to pray, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." As we begin Holy Week and traverse these days towards the crucifixion, death, and burial of Christ, we begin to have the sense, as it was for Jesus 2,000 years ago, so it is now for us, the hour has come. The hour has come for the Son to suffer. The hour has come for the Son to be glorified. And the temptation for each of us is the same as the temptation was back then for the disciples. The temptation is not to witness the suffering or to glorify God in this hour, but rather to flee. And as there were ways to flee Jesus back then through a literal running away or a cowardly denial of Christ, so there are ways to flee the passion today. We may first of all busy ourselves with many other things that we must do this week. It's a simple enough way to flee. To treat this week as we would any other week, to take no time at all, to kneel at the foot of the cross and put ourselves in a position to begin to contemplate what is incomprehensible truly, the event that happened there on that cross. And secondly, we may intellectualize the significance of the week or focus on the traditions of Lent and Holy Week and the Triduum, the final 3 days, buzzing about all the fascinating liturgical elements, the chants, the solemnities, keeping ourselves from facing the import of the week itself. This week, we are to set ourselves out to look straight at the reality before us. Jesus Christ, fully divine, fully human, hung on a Roman cross until he died. Until the body and the soul were separated, until into the Father's hands, Jesus commended his spirit. It is meet and right for us to gaze at this and not beside it or around it or away from it. To truly wonder at the reality that Jesus, in his person, a fully restored humanity, our own hope, in whom we dwell, and who dwells in us, this one was pierced through hands, feet, and side. We should stare, for as he hangs on the cross, we too hang on the cross. In a very real way, he is us. As St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It is right for us to stare. This passage from Galatians is indeed a powerful one. "I am crucified with Christ." But perhaps there is no better selection of an epistle to begin Holy Week than the one that we've heard today. St. Paul writes to the Philippians in a series of verses that have together taken the name the Kenosis Passage. They describe the manner in which Jesus made himself of no reputation, how the Son of Man was emptied of himself, and the word is kino, or kinoo in Greek, kenosis, emptying. St. Paul begins that passage saying, "Do nothing out of strife or vain glory. Do nothing out of kinodoxia, empty glory. But rather, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus, who knew that his hour had come, understood that it was time that he was glorified and that the Father was glorified in him. Jesus, who did nothing out of strife, for his very ministry was one of reconciliation between God and mankind. He did nothing out of empty glory, but he began his example for us by setting his foot upon the way of the cross. He emptied himself. When you look upon the Lord these last days of Lent, and you see in your mind our Lord suffering on the cross for us, recall that while equality with God was something entirely within his grasp, he opened his hands and made himself of no reputation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As you watch him there, you are not just to see, but to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Make yourself of no reputation. Humble yourself and be emptied of yourself. If you take the name of Christian, you are meant to set your foot on the way of the cross that he walked before you. And yes, he walked it for you, but not so that you wouldn't have to, but so that you would have his very footsteps in which to follow, and his very hand to guide you. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified, and all those who take his name should not flee from that glorious emptying kenosis. That last week of Lent, and this last week, let us say along with the saints, "I too am crucified with Christ." Jesus did nothing out of vainglory, empty glory, but he nevertheless was emptied of himself. Let this final week of Lent be the same for you. The one who hung upon the cross took you into himself while he hung there, and in truth, you cannot flee it. If you are a Christian, you are crucified with Christ. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, when he cried out from the cross, "It is finished," uttered a declaration that applies to you as well. "It is paid in full." It was the most awful Friday in the history of the human race, and yet it was Good Friday. A hard payment indeed for the sins of the whole world, but when it was paid in full, and it was finished. It was a Good Friday. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. He did nothing out of strife or empty glory, and neither should you. Jesus was emptied of himself, and so should you be. Jesus suffered death and even the death of the cross, and so you, with all the saints, are crucified with Christ. But Jesus was, from that death, resurrected and exalted, and so will you be. Do not flee it. Your voice must be raised to join the chorus with all things declaring that this Jesus Christ is Lord. He is glorified, and you in him, to the true glory of God the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.